as you know, we're going through the series of talks on the gospel-centered life. It just so happens that this one is on the gospel-centered single life, which seems a little strange for Mother's Day, but we're going to have some words here for single people, have some words here for married people, and for families as well. Because we're talking about the single life, just want to recognize it does arise in all kinds of emotions. Some of us are single and we really struggle with that because we don't want to be single. We don't want to choose it. Some here became single due to the death of a spouse. Some are single due to divorce. Some are single because we've never found a marriage partner. And I just want to recognize that this can hurt. That there can be great struggles with this. But there's a word for us here in the gospel. But we also need to pray. So please pray with me. Dear Lord, we ask for wisdom and grace and patience as we explore this gospel-centered single life. Help us to see your Son, Jesus Christ, clearly and to follow him fully, to be who you would have us be. I pray in the words that we use to talk about this topic and the way we hear them, that we would be full of grace that comes through your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, where can we start? I want to start here. God is the righteous creator. He is a relational being. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the God of relationship. Each person of the Trinity is involved in other person-centered love. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, loving and being loved, finding perfect satisfaction in each other. And yet this is a great truth. We are made in the image of God. We too are relational beings. When we are living, we are truly living as we've been created. When we are involved in other person-centered love. When we love another person more than ourselves. When we are giving in love ourselves fully to another person. And it's an incredible thing that God created us. It's incredible that we can have relationship with him. This is a question we come up against from time to time. Does God need us at all? Did he create us to fulfill some kind of a need? And the answer is no. In himself, God is in perfect relationship. It's out of his grace, his generosity. It's because he's a righteous and loving creator. He made us so we can have a relationship with him and with each other. But what do we do with that generous gift? Well, we are sinners. We take this great, good and loving gift and we reject it. We spurn the love of God and his relationship with us, and we end up damaging our own relationships as well. In fact, we take this idea of love and we make it a god. We worship love. We try and find fulfillment and satisfaction in it. We try and find our identity in it instead of the loving and righteous creator who offers us love and relationship. Very powerful narrative that comes from Hollywood about love. It says this: you are nothing until you find love in another person. Hollywood says you'll meet this person, you might lose them for a while, then you'll get them again, and maybe by running down a street in the rain, declaring your love to them, they'll fall in love with you again. There'll be a beautiful wedding, it'll be glorious, you'll be a whole person, you'll be fulfilled and satisfied. One of my favourites is this little, it's the kind of thing you can do in a Hollywood story. There's the girl of your dreams. Stand outside with a boombox, playing a beautiful song. I really miss the 80s sometimes. If you've seen Twilight, it's not the same. High school movies aren't the same. This is what Hollywood says, but the reality is we can't actually love like God loves, and it won't be satisfying. The world says, well, after a while, if the love dies, When the person no longer makes you feel satisfied or fulfilled, you can leave and find someone who will. You can chase after that story again. But we have this question. How do we know if this love will be any better? If it will be fulfilling? That it will be long term? We can't. We've got all these questions. Maybe we have to force the person to prove they love us. And this leads to conflict and to control. I've been married for 5 years. And when you're married, you realise just how sinful the other person is. They are selfish. They try to control you with their agendas, their lists of stuff to do. Marriage is two selfish and controlling people living together. And if my wife Amy's hope was placed in me, then I'm slowly destroying her. But her hope isn't. Why? Because there is someone who can love her in a deep and powerful and satisfying way. Someone who can love her in an other person-centered, fulfilling relationship. A relationship that gives her identity, assurance, and in fact gives her life. That person is Jesus Christ, our Saviour. If we ask the question, how much does God love us? He came to earth to die for us. His love is so concerned with the other person that he gave up his own life for us. So intimate is his love that when he calls us to be his church, he calls us to be his bride. The picture of heaven is a picture of intimacy so great, it's like we are married to Jesus. He cares for us, he loves us, and he has given his life for us. This is a love where there is no fear and there is no anxiety. The love of Christ is true love, and it is eternal. So what does that mean for us as we think through the gospel-shaped, gospel-centered single life? The gospel tells us this. In heaven, no one is married to each other. There's no husband and wife as we have now on earth. That's the picture of heaven. Although Amy and I have said that we will sit next to each other when we get there. We won't be married. Our status in heaven is that we are all single. That's our destiny. That's where we are headed. And it is a great and wonderful status to have. It's the fulfillment of the kingdom. We're all single and yet we are all loved. We are all fulfilled. We're all satisfied. We are in that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And we need to grip this with our minds, to grip hold of it and to know this is our destiny, because it will shape us, it will change us. The gospel-shaped message is heading in this direction. It tells us that it is good to be single. Married people now, the reality is this marriage won't last forever. It is a temporary thing. And our rusty routines, our identity of being a married couple and looking out only as far as ourselves is quite crazy. We forget that it is temporary. Single people preach with their life. They say one day all human marriages will be over. There will be no more. It is good to be single. And not just that because it is our destiny, but it's actually good to be single now. Hollywood won't tell you that. Our world won't tell you that. But the Bible says, here in verse 28, it is better not to marry. Those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of this world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. Time is short. Jesus Christ is coming back. Don't be engrossed in the things of this world. This is a message to all believers. Don't be overwhelmed by what's happening, by the feeling and emotion. Don't be enamored with your possessions. But also, don't be totally fixated on the family unit. The Davies, that's our family unit. There's three of us at the moment. When times are tough, we bunker down. We just become our own family unit. No one gets in, no one gets out. It's us fighting through the tough times. But the Bible says time is short. The world as we know it is passing away. Don't behave as such a narrow unit. But as a family unit, we're so rusted in our routines. We're a young family, and we tend to hang out not only with other married people, but other married people with the same age kids as us. Having single people in our life says, this is all passing away. Heaven is our destiny. Remember that, Davies family. Remember that it's good to be single. It's good to be spared the troubles of marriage. But the other reason that singleness is good is that it can be devoted to the Lord's affairs. In verse 32 it says, I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Have you ever heard the expression, happy wife, happy life? Maybe you have. For many, it's a kind of a grid for making decisions. The Bible is saying, yeah, the married man's focus is split. He's focused on pleasing his wife and also pleasing the Lord. But the single man can be focused on how he pleases the Lord. Just want to ask you, if you are married, if you have a family, if you wanted to become a missionary in Africa, when could you do that? Could you leave next week? Could you leave next month? Could you do it in 6 months? 12 months? A few years when the kids have finished school? What decisions would you have to make? When would the time be right for you to go and be devoted to the Lord as a missionary in Africa? We have single people in our church who have gone, who are out there, who are doing that. Single people remind us to refocus on the things of the Lord. And single people, you are a gift. Single people are a gift because they change the values of families. Values in our families are pretty clear. You know when a family is into sport or music or bike riding. Why not a gospel value in your family? Is that clearly seen? When a single person, younger or older, is part of our family or part of our marriage, they are a gift to us because they change the value of our family. They say, remember, this is temporary. You will not be married in heaven, which is eternal. They say, your life is overwhelmed by pleasing your wife or husband and caring for your kids. You're engrossed in the things of this world. Come back and be devoted to pleasing the Lord. And the single life allows a kind of care and intimacy which cuts across family boundaries. And this is the gospel in action. The gospel always cuts through boundaries. We're very good at putting up our boundaries, particularly around our families. And in our culture, it's radical for those to be crossed over. Well, you have single people caring for and in an intimate relationship with families. Families caring for and in an intimate relationship with single people. It's a gospel-shaped way of doing community, of doing life together. But the final thing I want to say is that things do change. And the text today from the Bible says for us to be content in any situation you find yourself in, and in that situation, live a gospel-shaped life. The end of chapter 7 says, be devoted to the things of the Lord, but it's not a sin to marry, but it's better not to marry. But you are free to marry as long as you are no longer married, and if he or she belongs to the Lord. There's some principles there. But wherever you find yourself, single, married, married, and then single again, be shaped by the gospel. I was single for 28 years, and there are some good things about being single. But I also remember when Amy and I were going out, I got a call from Blockbuster Video, and they said, Matt, It's a Saturday night. We haven't seen you for 3 weeks. Are you all right? There are some hard things about being single for Friday night. There are hard things about being married. We've talked about those last week. We've talked about them in our home groups as well. There are hard things about being married. And there are hard things when you go from being married to being single. There's a comedian I like called Chris Rock, and he says that there are two kinds of people in this world: single and lonely, married and bored. There's some truth in the fact that we think we'll be satisfied in the other thing. But it says here, be content in the situation you find yourself in, and as it changes, live a gospel-shaped life. And the gospel-centered life offers us another way to what Chris Rock says. It says, find our identity, our satisfaction and fulfillment in Jesus. The gospel-centered single life reminds us that this is temporary. What matters is pleasing Jesus now and remembering that we'll be in an intimate relationship with him at the end of times. This will impact our life, our choices, our decisions, our relationships. Just want to remind you too that the gospel that we sang with the kids, that Jesus is the King. The gospel tells us that Jesus died for us when we were strangers to God. Our sin had broken our relationship with God. We were far off, we were unable to reconcile with him. But in his death on the cross, Jesus welcomed us as strangers into his family. We are able to call God Father. The gospel life is one in which we welcome strangers, whether we're single, whether we are in a family, whether we are married. We welcome the widows, and particularly for married people. We welcome the fatherless, the refugee, the visitor, the person for married people who is not familiar to us, who is not part of our blood family. We welcome a single person, or many of them, into our life. That's the gospel call. I want to ask you, what are the values of your family? Are they welcoming? Do they need to be blessed by a single person? Let me ask again, we're doing a lot of this work in our home groups. What is your home group like? Are they gospel-centered? Are they open? Is it welcoming to outsiders? Do they point to the reality of the end times? Or in this group, are we all in the same phase of life? Are we rusted into our routines? The gospel blows this open in our marriages, our families, our home groups, and in our church. Blows it wide open, and the call is to be shaped by the gospel. Why don't I pray for us, and we can have a time of questions and sharing. Dear God, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the gospel-centered single life. And dear Lord, we pray that you would bless everyone through those you have gifted in this life, that your name would be glorified, that our values of our family and our church would be clear gospel values. We pray this in Jesus' name.